You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from askanything-app.com. Phishing resistance in 2026. Welcome. This lesson is about a simple habit that works across a complicated threat landscape. Stop, think, verify, and report. Phishing is no longer mainly an awkward email with obvious spelling mistakes. It can arrive as a text, a QR code, a collaboration platform chat, a polished email, a phone call, or a video conversation. It can appear to come from someone familiar. The writing may be flawless. The voice may sound right. The message may sit inside a real conversation thread because a genuine account has been compromised. That is why this lesson does not ask you to become a forensic analyst. It asks you to notice when a contact wants you to cross a trust boundary. A trust boundary is crossed when you open a link, sign in, approve an MFA request, disclose a code, scan a QR code, install software, share sensitive information, change payment details, or send money. Even replying can matter if it confirms that you are a live target and begins a longer manipulation. The useful warning sign is an unexpected request paired with a consequential action. Urgency, secrecy, authority, fear, scarcity, and the desire to be helpful can all make that request feel more compelling. A familiar name, good grammar, a logo, a padlock, a known voice, or a real account does not remove the need to verify. The evidence in the approved handbook shows why this response pattern matters. FBI complaint data for 2025 recorded large numbers of phishing and business email compromise complaints, and billions of dollars in reported BEC losses. APWG reported a rise in attacks in the first quarter of 2026 using a different collection method. Verizon's 2026 analysis found that mobile-centered interactive social engineering through texts and calls had a higher success rate than traditional email phishing in its data. These sources measure different things, so their counts should not be added. Together, they show a problem that spans channels and business processes. Microsoft telemetry also showed rapid growth in detected QR phishing during the first quarter of 2026. A QR code is simply a link encoded as an image. It can hide its destination until you scan it, and it often moves the interaction from a managed computer to a phone with a smaller screen and possibly fewer company protections. A QR code inside a PDF is still asking you to navigate somewhere. The safe response is not to scan an unexpected code to sign in, view a document, reset MFA, pay an invoice, or enroll in benefits. Instead, open the known application or company portal yourself. For a physical QR code, be alert to a sticker placed over the original, and use the official app or a typed address when available. Artificial intelligence changes the cost, speed, scale, personalization, and polish of deception. It does not change the safe decision. A generative system can draft clean messages, translate them, imitate a tone, and use public information about a target. Voice cloning can contribute to payment fraud. But complaint data does not establish that most phishing uses AI, and you do not need to decide whether AI created a particular message. Judge the requested action. Verify the identity and authority behind it. The same principle applies to voice and video. A caller may imitate an executive, coworker, supplier, family member, or technician. A video call may combine a synthetic face or voice with stolen images, a compromised account, a low-quality connection, or a human operator. The absence of glitches is not proof. Network glitches are not proof of a deepfake either. If a caller asks for money, credentials, MFA approval, sensitive disclosure, or remote access, pause the incoming interaction. Find the person's number independently in the company directory or another trusted record, then initiate a new contact. A useful script is, "I'm happy to help. Our policy requires me to call back through the directory and complete verification. I cannot bypass that, including for executives." Now consider MFA fatigue. Repeated prompts are not notifications to clear. Each prompt is a security decision. An attacker may already have a password, trigger repeated approvals, then call while pretending to be support. Approve only when you initiated the sign-in, at that moment, on the expected service and device. If a prompt is unexpected, deny it or use the report fraud option when available. Never disclose a password, one-time code, number match value, or recovery code, including to someone claiming to be IT. Report the unexpected prompt immediately because the password may already be compromised. If you approved, report that exact fact immediately. Do not wait to see whether anything happens. Phishing-resistant MFA, especially FIDO or WebAuthn, is an important technical control because it binds authentication to the real site. Number matching can be a useful interim measure, while SMS and one-time codes can still be phished. Technical controls matter, but employees still need a clear response path when something unexpected happens. Texts, Teams, Slack, and other messaging tools can feel more trustworthy because they are conversational. Small screens can hide domains. External user labels can be overlooked. A compromised coworker account may include real history. An attacker may build rapport before asking for a device code, download, screen share, or remote control session. Treat a chat as a message, not proof of identity. Do not paste a device code supplied by someone else into a login page. Do not install software or grant screen control because an unsolicited support contact asks. End the contact and reach the help desk through the company portal or directory. Business email compromise deserves special attention because it may contain no malicious link or attachment. The payload can be the employee's authorized action. Imagine a supplier's real account replying inside a genuine invoice thread with changed bank details. The invoice may be correct. The message may look normal. Replying to ask whether the change is real keeps you inside the same possibly compromised channel. Instead, call a pre-existing supplier contact using a number already in the vendor master. Do not use the number in the email, invoice, signature, or caller's message. Require a second authorized reviewer and follow any hold or alert procedure. Gift card fraud uses authority, secrecy, and urgency. An executive is supposedly in a meeting. The request is confidential, and the codes are needed now. Company policy should prohibit purchasing cards or transmitting codes based only on email, text, or chat. Verify through a known number and use the documented purchasing workflow. Executives must support that rule publicly. Payroll diversion uses a similar process weakness. A message asks HR or payroll to change an employee's direct deposit, perhaps from a personal email with a story about lost account access. A manager's emailed approval is not identity proof. Use the authenticated HR system or a documented identity proofing process, then notify the employee through a previously registered channel. Confidential legal or executive requests do not override verification. A supposed acquisition, litigation matter, tax payment, or special vendor may be designed to make normal checks feel inappropriate. Confidentiality never cancels dual authorization. The statement that the CEO wants policy bypassed is itself a warning sign. Message inspection can help with triage, but it is not a guarantee. Start with the sender details. The display name is just a friendly label and is easy to spoof. Expand the full from address. Check the reply to address. Mail systems can also evaluate SPF, DKIM, and MARC, but even a technically authenticated message can be malicious if a real account is compromised or an attacker controls the sending domain. Read domain names from right to left. Added words, hyphens, omitted or doubled letters, swapped characters, and different endings create different registrations. A word that looks like the company name on the left side of a longer domain may only be a label controlled by someone else. International characters can also look deceptively familiar. When something is suspicious, do not correct the spelling by hand and continue. Navigate from a bookmark or company portal. Inspect links without opening them. On a desktop, hover and read the destination shown by the client. On a touch device, a long press may show a preview, but behavior varies and can accidentally open the link. When uncertain, do not interact. Report it. Remember that HTTPS and a padlock only mean the connection is encrypted. They do not prove that a site belongs to the organization you intended to visit, or that its purpose is safe. Now let's apply the four-part response. First, stop. Pause before an irreversible or sensitive action. Do not let the sender's timetable become your decision process. Second, think. Did you expect this contact and this action? What boundary would you cross? Is the contact trying to move you to a personal email, text, WhatsApp, or external tenant? Would normal policy require a second person, an authenticated system, or a known workflow? Could the real account be compromised? Third, verify. The person making the request should not choose the verification path. Retrieve the number, application, or contact record independently. Use a directory callback, the vendor master, the authenticated HR or finance system, or an in-person check where practical. For money and sensitive changes, apply dual control. No executive can waive verification through email, chat, voice, or video. Fourth, report. Use the company's one-click reporting control or documented security channel. Report even when you are uncertain. Report false alarms. Report mistakes. Fast reporting protects everyone and gives responders more options. If you did act, say exactly what happened. If you clicked but entered nothing, close the page and report. If you entered a password, report and change it from a clean path according to company guidance so responders can revoke sessions. If you approved MFA, supplied a code, registered an unexpected passkey or security key, or pasted a device code, report immediately. If you ran a file, command, macro, installer, or remote support tool, contact security. Disconnect the device only as instructed, and do not power it off unless told. If you disclosed sensitive data, say what kind and where it went. If money, gift card codes, or payment details were sent, report to security and the business response path immediately. Rapid escalation may preserve recovery options. A no-blame reporting culture is operationally necessary. People hesitate when they expect punishment or embarrassment. That delay gives an attacker time. Managers should thank the reporter, preserve facts, and escalate. The first response should not be an interrogation. Training also has limits. A large 2025 field experiment discussed in the handbook found no relationship between the recency of annual awareness training and simulation failure. Embedded training had only a small average effect, and many people spent little time with the training page. Earlier healthcare research also found limited impact from mandatory training aimed at repeatedly susceptible employees. NIST cautions that click rates depend on lore difficulty and work context. So a low click rate does not automatically mean security improved, and a high rate does not automatically mean employees failed. Measure reporting speed, verification behavior, containment time, and whether business controls work. Use simulations to rehearse safe decisions and test systems, not to shame people. The organization's safety net must include phishing-resistant MFA, email and domain controls, endpoint protections, collaboration platform governance, dual authorization, transaction limits, alerts for risky changes, and rehearsed response. Training creates more detectors and gives them a practiced action. It is not a firewall by itself. Different roles need enhanced procedures. Finance and procurement need vendor master callbacks, dual review, holds, alerts, and recovery drills. Payroll and HR need authenticated changes and identity proofing. Executives and assistants need to model the rule that verification cannot be waived. IT and help desks need strong reset procedures and should never collect passwords or MFA codes. Developers and administrators need to protect tokens, secrets, cloud consent, and privileged sessions. For every employee, the closing rule is the same. Stop before links, logins, approvals, installs, disclosures, or payments. Think about the request, the pressure, and the trust boundary. Verify through a channel or workflow that you retrieve independently. Report immediately, even if you are uncertain and even after a mistake. The goal is not perfect recognition. The goal is a reliable process that turns uncertainty into a safe decision and a fast organizational response.